Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Dawn preached on a similar text to the one we have before us today from Matthew chapter 5. The words were similar, the admonitions from Jesus were similar, as they all are a part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Today we have those words that Jesus also spoke last week. You have heard it said of old, ... but I say unto you, words from last week's text, words from today. And in both cases, Jesus places before us some very lofty expectations, some very difficult words to hear and to understand, and also some demands that really seem very strange in some ways, and perhaps not even ones that we can attain. To be sure, not all of Scripture is to be understood literally. It is wrong for us to say, well, look at what the Bible says, because not everything in the Bible is to be understood literally. For example, last week, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I don't think that is to be literally understood. Today, Jesus is not talking about some kind of physically doing harm to ourselves, but rather he's talking about how we are to treat our neighbors, how we are to treat those people who are dear to us, but even those people who we might classify as even our enemies. Throughout his ministry, Jesus constantly defied expectations. Jesus took on the social mores of the day, and he was doing that in our gospel text again this morning. For 2,300 years before the time of Jesus, the people were living by something that most of us have heard of, the Code of Hammurabi. The Code of Hammurabi simply said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But before that code came into existence, if a man from one tribe injured or killed a man from another tribe, the people from that tribe that was injured said death to everybody in the other tribe, not just to the man who perpetrated the violence. But along comes the Code of Hammurabi and says, no, it is only to be to the man who did the injustice. Eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But now, some 2,300 years later, Jesus comes along and he abolishes even that code for a new law of non-retaliation, non-vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And so Jesus says, you have heard it said of old, but I say unto you, if somebody sues you and takes your coat, give them a cloak as well. If somebody forces you to go 1 mile, go a second mile. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is talking about a new world order, a new way of looking at life and looking at the world, and that has been passed down to us then as Christians. And we thus are to live in this new world order. And we are to live in this law of love. Not vengeance. For whenever we want to get our pound of flesh because somebody has wronged us, it only deepens the fracture and it drives the mistrust even deeper. Vengeance is never the way for us to respond. And so do our Lord's words today make any sense to us? Or are they simply irrelevant words from the past? They are simply nice rhetoric and nice words. I would submit to you this morning that they are not simply words from the past that we find not relevant. They are exceedingly relevant in our day and in our world. So as we try to unpack what Jesus was saying like last week and this week, to understand the truth within the statements of Jesus, I want us to look at two portions of Scripture. The first one that, the one that we will look at is the last verse in our text for today. But before we get there, I want us to go to the very first book of the Bible, the first chapter. And I want us to look at chapter 1, verse 26. The story says that God has created now the world and all that is in it. And on day 6, he says, let us make humankind in our image. In our image. And so God creates humankind. Male and female, he creates them in his image. Now, my friends, there's a powerful truth in this particular portion of Scripture with the word image. We are created in the image of God. Now, certainly that does not mean that we look like God, for God is a spirit. But that word image means that we are to reflect as God's people created by our God. We are to reflect the nature and the spirit of our God. We are to reflect God's image in the way we do life. God's spirit and his nature. Our approach to living is to be one in which we reflect the image of God in and through our lives. And that is love. Jesus came to show us that love. And he said, like we even had in our liturgy this morning, God is love. And we love because God first loved us. And he planted that image in us. Jesus also said, love one another as I have loved you. That is reflecting the image of God that we were created to have in the beginning in our life. That is huge, my friends. In the very beginning of the Scripture, God sets before us his plan for humanity. Image, reflect, and do the image of God in our lives. And the whole rest of Scripture is set upon that premise. And God says, let me show you how to do that. Let me tell you how to do that in the words of this book. And I will send my son Jesus, who will show you how to do it in the life that he lives. Image. reflect in our lives the very image of our God. And then that brings us to the conclusion of our text for today, where Jesus speaks these strong words. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Think about those words. Daunting expectation for any one of us. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Impossible, friends. The Sermon on the Mount began with Jesus making these wonderful blessings, the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes. Blessed are the poor, the meek, the hungry, for they shall be satisfied, they shall inherit the earth, etc. And the people who were sitting on the hills surrounding the Sea of Galilee must have found great solace in those words of Jesus. Ah, beautiful words. But then it changes. The sermon changes. It's no longer blessed. But it is if your hand, your eye, cut it off, pluck it out. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Implausible and impossible, yes. But if we consider the word perfect in the normal sense of what perfect is, then we're running amiss of it. But more accurately understood, the word perfect means to be complete, to be fulfilled. Our lives are to be complete and be fulfilled. As Jesus drew his dying breath, he uttered a phrase that said, "It is finished." And he used at that time, according to Scripture, the same word that means perfect. It is finished. It is complete. It is fulfilled. I have done what God called me to do. Be perfect, said Jesus. Let your life be a life that is complete because you reflect the image of God. Let our lives be fulfilled because we know that as we are blessed, so we are to be a blessing to others. Be perfect. Be complete. May your life be fulfilled, that others may see the glory of God in our lives and give thanks to God for all things. So may it be for all of us. Amen.